Hello. Technical issues. We're trying to get Joe on.
Yeah, no problem.
Got Akshay. How you doing, bruv?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, man. Very good.
Yeah, cool.
Where's Cohen?
Yeah, he should be here. He was online.
Joe, he's so unprofessional.
Is he the one who's sleeping today?
Hey?
Is Joe the one who's sleeping today?
I think so. Oh, is Joe?
Hello, here I am.
Hello, Joe.
Technical issues.
Yeah, that wasn't as smooth as last week.
I know, what the fuck? Go to plug in my headphones and realize my headphone jack is jacked on my PC.
Damn.
Should have maybe tested that. I ruined it all.
And we have a caller, which I'm assuming is Glenn.
Let's hope so.
Oh.
Is that Glenn?
Hola. Yes, it is.
Hey, how's it going, bro?
Good. Sitting outside having a rum and called in to talk to the guys from Indian Paranormal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have quite a few questions. Just one? Excuse me, the guy from Indian Paranormal then.
Are we missing Cohen?
Let's try and find out where
I don't know if Cohen is here.
You're not both on the same line, are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, hello? There you go. I'm a bit confused. Anyways, how's everybody doing tonight?
I'm good.
Good.
Got my beer.
Oh, sweet.
Got my buddies.
And I have something on my tongue.
I even squeezed in a nap real quick.
Yeah, I didn't have mine. I'm regretting it.
Yeah. I would have been smart to stay awake so I could have, you know, tested things out before I tried to hook up to the PC.
Yeah, then you wouldn't have fucked our shit up.
I know. Now we're doomed for ultimate failure.
Oh,
that's what you get when you sleep on a job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at least Glenn's here to save our ass, so, you know, we got that going for us.
I wouldn't count on that. So, who are we talking to? Are we talking to Sarbjeet?
We've got Akshay. Yeah.
Or Cohen.
Cohen.
Whatever he wants to be called. The man of two names.
Is Cohen still suffering from a tummy ache?
Cohen and Sarvaji, a split personality.
They're both cunts.
I get confused.
He's the same guy.
Well, I've done the posters kind of thing to promo the show, and he messages me going, "Can you change my name to Sarvaji?" And I'm like, "Ha." Ah. God, diva.
So where did the whole Cohen thing come from? Fernandez.
Yeah.
All this time I thought he was Spanish.
He's not Spanish? What? The show's over. Fuck this. The show's over.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I don't feel asking the questions till he's here, so.
Yeah, are we going to just jump right into the questions, or?
I think we should wait for the other dude.
Let me see here.
Wake up, Cohen.
Wait, I don't know. He's awake.
I know, I am chatting him to him on Facebook, but.
Yeah.
Maybe he had to. Maybe he decided he had to rub one out real quick.
Yeah, that's always important. Before you get on the show, I mean, right.
Usually I just do it while I'm on the show, but, you know, hey, each to their own, right?
So that's what happens when you get real quiet.
Yeah. If you wonder why I keep cutting out, that's not any technical issue. That's just me pounding it that hard.
There was a good 10 minutes
I know. 10 minutes, that's like 5 times for me right there.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not good with pronouncing names. So I can't say his first name. Is it Akshay?
Akshay.
Okay, I just want to get it right, so I'm not sounding like an idiot that I am.
I just go with it.
But it's good to talk to you, man. I enjoy your guys' posts, and I got a lot of respect for what you guys do, because I'm aware that, you know, it's not necessarily condoned upon, you know, over there in your country. So you guys got a lot of nuts doing what you're doing, I think, man, and you've been doing good at it too, apparently, you know, getting a lot of recognition.
Thanks, bro.
And that's cool. That's really cool.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
They're taking over the
world. Yeah, I mean, look. No shit. Yeah, in the paper, on TV, on news. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome.
Crazy.
I mean, all of us know what it's like to kind of be, you know, cast out doing this kind of business anywhere. You know, doing this, you'll get the naysayers. You get people that want to, you know, jump on your shit and everything. So it's not easy no matter where you're at, but especially over there, I assume it's, you know, even worse. You know, being a pioneer in anything is not easy.
Yeah, it's really difficult to talk to the people over here regarding the paranormal. And even if we are talking about spirituality and we go in as Indian paranormal team, in the schools, they say, okay, we don't want our kids to know about these stuff. And we say it's all about spirituality. And one day I went to a director of a school, and she was really interested when I said, okay, I'm a spiritual person, and I want to impart knowledge which I have about spirituality. She called me over and he said, so which prayers are you going to teach? I said, prayers? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spirituality. Religion and spirituality is the same thing. You have to teach students how to pray. Well, I'm not doing that. It's like that. It's really bad.
Well, you guys have definitely been moving forward. I mean, you know, there's some groups that do this for years and do good work and never get any recognition. So, you know, it looks to me like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, and I wish you guys all the luck and continued success, you know. It's good to see someone making it in this I don't know what to call it, in this realm. Because, you know, I know as for myself, you know, we just started doing our thing a few years back. And, you know, if you're in public and you're talking about it over here, you can get some pretty strange looks. And you get people saying, you know, stupid stuff, this and that. They make fun of it. I find, though, that a lot of the people who tend to make fun of it or, you know, kind of poo-poo at it, they're more scared of it than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
they act like, you know, they don't want anything to do with it or whatever, but when you dig a little bit deeper, it's their own inhibitions and their own fears. And I mean, for me, the fear started so long ago in my life. I got over that a long time ago, and you know, it's been a personal journey as well as trying to help other people. But there's always that fear there that so many people have. It's beat into them over here in religion and many things. You know, especially if you're Catholic or something like that. It's a big no-no. You do not commune with spirits. You know, they're all considered evil. And some of the Christianity as well, you know, I have friends who think that there's no such thing as human spirits, that they're all demonic and they're all trying to lead you astray, which I laugh at because this since I've done this, this has actually led me to good things. And as far as leading astray, I never needed a demon to do that. I did that all too well by myself. So never needed any help from demons for that.
Demon.
Well, that's why I sacrifice a goat, you know. That's why I sacrifice a goat on, you know, every Friday, you know, shit on the straight and narrow.
Nothing wrong with that. Goat meat's good.
Oh. Yeah, you know.
Sabajit's here.
Do we have
Hang on.
You here?
Yes, at last. I'm here.
Is that you? There he is.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hello. Hello.
How are
Welcome
you?
Welcome to the radio show.
Thank you so much for calling and inviting us.
Well,
that
you know.
Formal.
Yeah, on Facebook, he just called me a cunt.
Are we feeling better, Sarvajit?
Professional.
Are we feeling better today?
Yes, I'm a little good. That's why I asked Joe yesterday night that if it is 1 hour or 2 hours. Had it been of 2 hours, it would have been tough for me. But it's of 1 hour, so it's okay. I can manage.
One and a half hour.
But he's not been here for a while, so he skipped a bit.
Well, we're glad you made it, man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Must be something going around. I had a pretty nasty day yesterday myself.
Yeah, migraine, eh? They suck.
Yeah, every now and then. You know what it's like. Well, you know, being married, it happens sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Someone's getting a beating later.
She's asleep right now, so.
We'll just make sure that she doesn't get this link.
She knows me all too well. She knows I joke. If it wasn't for her, shoot, man, I wouldn't be where I am now, so. You know, I can't complain. I often do, but I shouldn't.
Yeah, they keep us grounded, don't they, Glenn?
Oh, absolutely.
We lost him.
Yeah, he's gone. He's dropped.
Ooh.
I think he's having some internet problems. Hey, this just sucks balls.
Yeah. Always with the technical.
Well, so I'm interested in some of your first experiences. You know, what led you to get into this line of work, doing what you do?
See, I was into spirituality for a long time. I've been into spirituality for almost 8 to 9 years now. And I was meditating and developing my psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And all the abilities which I have inside me. One day I was studying for my marketing paper the next day, and I felt some presence in the room near my feet. So I turned, and actually I could see an apparition with my eyes. And she was directly looking at me, and I was shit scared. I was like, where the hell did she come from? She was a Scottish girl.
Wow.
Her name was Alyssa, and she's looking at me, and I was shit scared. I said, "Mom, somebody's here. I don't know who she is. I'm going into the living room. I'm going to study over there for my paper. You handle the spirit over here." And my mom was a past life regression therapist, so she had more spiritual knowledge than me that time. And she sat there for meditation, trying to communicate with the spirit. And I came into the living room. And the next moment, I see her across the table in the living room. I was shit scared then. And then I released the first spirit of my life. And later on, I don't know from where people came to know about it. And they started to come to me to get their spirits, the alien spirits released. I started with the exorcism. Later on, I and Sergeji found this Indian paranormal team to cater to the needs of the people of a country who face such problems regarding paranormal.
And yeah, the meditation is something that, you know, I've just been getting into the last couple of years. I don't do it often enough, trying to find a time to do it and a nice quiet place to do it too. But it's really helped. I can understand what you mean about trying to develop your abilities. Yes. You know, I haven't had any great experiences like that. My first ones were when I was a kid and long before I knew about any of this stuff. But I feel that when I do it, you know, for me, it's mostly mental in there. I feel I connect. I would like to be able to actually see what's going on, but it's become quite a little experience when I do get to do it, especially if I get to sit outside here at nighttime back in the woods here without getting eat up by mosquitoes trying to do that. When I do it and I have my devices on, like the Echo Box or something like that, they go off, they go nuts. And that's when I really realize there's really something to this, you know. You increase your alpha waves and all that good stuff, and it seems to be able to contact with them better. I don't know if it's the energy output that they're able to use or whatnot, but it's definitely something to it, something I never realized. Because, I mean, the meditation over here, a lot of people just use it to relax and stuff like that. It's not necessarily for trying to communicate with spirits. So for me, it's definitely a new thing and something I'm really interested in.
Yeah, if you can try to develop the third eye chakra, maybe you'll be able to communicate as well. So that's where the psychic abilities come from, the pineal gland.
Yes.
So Akshay, did you, you know, have to face a lot of adversity? Is your family, you know, are they very religious at all? You know, are they pretty open to what you do?
They're pretty open and supportive to what I do, and they have surely let me do. They let me do what I really love to do, because paranormal in a country of religion is really good, because people are doing carrying on with their regular life, and I'm doing something different. So they get to boast about how, like, my kid's doing something different from yours, and he's good at it. So they are happy.
That's always really cool. I mean, my family's kind of half and half. My mom, she supports me no matter what, pretty much. But my dad, again, they're both raised Catholic. With him, he blows it off. Doesn't really like it, but I suspect he's sensitive as well. I mean, I know it runs in my mom's side of the family. I didn't know that until my grandmom, God rest her soul, passed away a few years back, but she was staying here for a few years before she did, and I found out some things about my family and runs in the family. My grandfather was the same way and stuff. So, you know, all these years that I thought I was a freak, turns out that, you know, it's kind of normal in our family.
So Abhijit's back, so are you there? I think so. He's dropped. As soon as I said that, he dropped. He's been there for 2 minutes.
Oh, maybe he's rubbing one out, like Joe said.
Well, he does it a little bit too often. Technical
issues. Yeah. Quit hitting the escape key.
He's got a big problem.
Put it down for 5 minutes, Abhijit. It depends on how you look at it, I guess. You know, gets in the way of things, or, you know, excels things.
No, I'm doing it right now. I don't have to drop my cord.
Oh, I like the Viagra commercials. So if you have an erection lasting for more than 4 hours, go see your doctor. I'm not going to go see my doctor. I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah, no shit. I'll see you at the Bunny Ranch. I'll be there. 4 hours, that's a fucking party.
I'll go fucking get a part-time job at a hat rack.
Well, hopefully we can get Sarbjeet back on here, maybe, you know, that'd be cool.
Long enough to, I don't know.
We had this problem with Brian last time, too, didn't we?
Yeah, we had to do another show for the first half. Yeah, we had to make another half.
That ended up being a really good show, though. I enjoyed that. I recently went on to his YouTube page and checked out some of his other older videos, and dude is definitely a nut. I can appreciate that.
But I found his videos, and videos from weeks ago. Akshay, do you want to talk about your academy stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
We started
academy in Mumbai. Yeah, Danny's teaching about using Ecovox and the paranormal applications. And Tim is talking about ghost boxing, like IDT voices, how to use those ghost boxes.
So not ghosts fighting in the ring, then?
No.
that's me out. That's what I was interested in seeing.
Yeah. We really need a full-spectrum camera to capture all that. And it would be real fun to see. Like, going, and this guy punches the other guy, and it goes through the other guy. It would be really fun, real fun to see how exactly they try to manage to hurt each other with their boxes.
So are these online courses, so to speak? Are they just, you know, like, is Danny and Tim kind of the instructors kind of going through, like, almost like it's a class type of deal?
Yes. Yes. The classes will be via Skype, and Danny and Tim would be teaching via Skype, whereas we have paranormal investigations being taught in classroom as well. And I think nobody else is doing that. I actually came up with this idea because I was talking to a few students, and they wanted somebody to assist them and show them how to do it in the first place on the first investigation. So I said, okay, fine, I'll start with this classroom-based training. I'll teach you each and everything in the class. And people go on an investigation. You do it, I'll be there as a support. You do it, I'll be looking at what you do and giving you, grading you on that mark on those investigations for the certification. So that is how we are going to do it over here.
This is pretty good in India as well because it's harder to learn how to do this kind of thing in India.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. So I think it's good stuff.
If you guys are doing good too, it just goes to show you that there's a need for that there. You know, a lot of people are interested and were maybe not willing to come out about it, and they see you guys doing it, they can take the class, you know, somewhere they can get support, or they might not be getting support from their family or something like that. So it's important. I mean, I know I spent a lot of my life you know, feeling I was nuts and not having anybody to talk to about it. And there definitely was, you know, no groups you could go to back in those days or anything like that, like there is now. So it's really important, I think, to what you guys are doing. You know, the funny thing is the Ecovox and all this, because Ecovox is pretty much what brought me to know everybody here. You know, it's amazing how this one little app has led to so many good things, at least in my life, and so many good people. So that's pretty amazing.
That's how I've met everyone we're talking to right now is from Echo Box. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome little group. Really, I mean, definitely met some cool people.
Yeah, it's a good thing that Danny made, and it's getting people from across the world together. And it's really good because of this family, I came to know about a lot of things, and we are here because of you guys. So we need support from outside regarding the gadgets. We don't get gadgets over here. So, and the Indians have no clue of what technology you guys are using over there, unless and until we talk to you guys. So, if had it been the TVC, all those things, we would still be using K2 meters and maybe only a full spectrum camera for that sort and nothing else. Now we are using a wide range.
It's kind of amazing to me that the subject is taboo, because there's so many religions. I mean, India has such a long history of different spiritualities there. You know, I've never been there myself, but I've seen lots of films and pictures. Some beautiful places over there. And the people that I've met over here that have immigrated to America, they're always polite, they're always hardworking. Every single one I've ever met has been a good person. So it's just amazing to me that this type of connecting with spirits, because whether you talk about spirituality, if you're praying to God or what have you, I mean, it's still connecting with spirits. I mean, one way or the other, if you want to look at it, but it's amazing that what you're doing is considered, taboo. I'm not familiar with all the different religions down there, different sects that come out. But, over here, there's so many different breakoffs of Christianity. You have, Baptists, and you have Catholics, Christians, and everything, and they all kind of point to the same thing, but yet they all have their little differences, and they squabble amongst each other too. I'm right, you're wrong, which is frustrating to me. That's why I don't belong to any of them.
Yeah, exactly. You have to belong to all of them, actually, and you respect each and every religion, you love each and every god possible, and love each and every human possible. So
that's
once
what it's
you
all
do
about.
That, yeah. And once you do that, nobody can hurt you. You say, what shit you want to talk about me? I'll just smile and say, okay, cool. You think that? Appreciate that, man. Good.
Yeah, I've been through all the different motions over here with it. I have some friends that are really devout Christians, and they do what they do, and I respect that they have their faith and that they believe, and they'll go through the little schmeal of trying to get me on the same course they are, and I've already been through all that. It's just really not my thing. It's like what you said, it's just more about love and respect. For me, I don't need to go to a specific church or belong to a specific group to pray, or feel a spiritual love. For me, it's nature. It's always been there. I can look at animals and birds and my own children and see the face of God right there. I don't have to go to a church to experience that and have somebody tell me exactly what I have to do for what's their view of how you get to paradise or heaven or whatnot. And frankly, for most of those people, if heaven is full of people like that, I'd rather stay here because I like my life, I like drinking, I like cussing and stuff like that. So I don't fit in. I mean, I've had people try to get me to join their groups and their churches, and I try to tell them I really won't fit in, man. it would only be a farce. No, seriously. So, I mean, I respect what they do. I respect that they, their religion fulfills them, but I've also seen, a lot of religion create a lot of harm on this planet as well. There's endless tales of one group, you know, subjugating another group. The American Indian over here is a good example, you know, being forced to be Christian or whatnot. And there was nothing wrong with what they worshipped, what they believed in. You know, they had their own thing for hundreds of thousands of years that worked perfectly good for them. So my theory is, you know, if it works for you, that's great. As long as you don't push it on me, we can be friends. You know, once they start trying to push, then I might turn into a bit of an asshole.
Well, once cornered, even if you're cornered, they will react to it, right? Nobody is going to take shit.
Absolutely.
Well, now I kind of feel stupid sending you that Jesus pamphlet, Glenn. I thought I had something there for you.
Yeah, but you're
just go ahead and hit.
You get a pass on that, you know.
Well, thank you. Put return to sender one.
Sexiness tops all in my book.
Ah, well, thank you. It does, doesn't it?
No, I mean, my views are, you know, I believe that Jesus existed. You know, when it comes to being the son of the God or a God, I have a little bit of issue with that. But I believe the man definitely did some stuff that freaks some people out. I mean, it's 2,000 years, and people are still talking about it and following them. But, you know, there was a whole other book before that one, the Old Testament, you know, what the Hebrews follow, and very few of the Christians even pay attention to that. So I see a lot of these people, and I talk to them, and they're pretty much ignorant of the land that their religion came from and the people that it came from. I've heard people get upset down south because I talk about Jesus never stopped being a Jew. They get all pissed off. Jesus wasn't a Jew. What? You know, they celebrate Easter, which, you know, in the Hebrew, that's the Passover. That's the Passover Seder. That's what they were celebrating at their Last Supper, and they have no idea about that. And it's the ignorance that baffles me, you know. But, you know, to each his own. Like I said, it's just for me, it's not, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's not a path that I feel I need to follow in my life to have a spiritual awakening, so to speak. I find a lot of people only find God or Jesus when they're in trouble, when they go to jail or something like that, you know, when they're really down low in their life, and then they straighten themselves up and they give all the credit to God. And it's like, well, that very well may be, but maybe you actually just straightened yourself out finally, you know, give yourself a little bit of credit. Maybe you finally realize you were screwing up and you did something about it. And there's something to be said for that too. So, you know, and then on the other side, they blame all the bad things that happened in their life on the devil or stuff like that, which that's a whole nother subject right there. But, you know, and people take that way too seriously too. I mean, for me, it's, and I kind of get them, this whole thing with the devil. I mean, I go with their view. Your view is, you're religious, that God created everything, the universe, the stars, the skies, all the animals, created all the angels as well. And Lucifer was supposed to be one of his angels. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking. He has a plan for you, has your whole life planned out, but he can't pin down this one little angel. Yes, he's that Lucifer is such a pistol. You know, I just can't get a hold of him. It just doesn't work for me. There's just too many contradictions.
Fucking teenagers.
I can hear some kids running around there. It could be done out shooting at them. I use a slingshot myself. But, you know, so again, I mean, I went through the whole thing when I went into the Navy. You go into the military, usually everybody starts going to church. And, you know, those were my first experiences with that, because our folks never really made us go to church or anything like that. And I followed for a while. You know, I felt like, hey, this ain't so bad. But the more I started digging into it, you know, theology type of thing, again, there's just so many contradictions in that book that's baffling and it's confusing. And they always have an answer for it, but it's never suited me, and it's always gotten me in trouble. So that's, you know, I still ask questions. Nobody knows. I mean, you can't really say for sure. If somebody says for sure that they know this is what's going on, I call bullshit. Just like with a lot of the spirit investigations, you're talking to the people through the echo box. People say, oh, I'm talking to my dad. I'm talking to this person. You very well might be. I'm not saying you're not, but just because you get a name or whatnot, there's really no 100% way to verify that, you know. I wish there was. I mean, for me personally, I feel certain things, but again, you're always going to have naysayers. Now, here comes a guy in a Harley. Yeah. Luckily, we don't have a lot of kids around here to make noise.
Maybe Glenn can actually ask for validations from the spirits while using EchoVox. So maybe you can ask about the date when they passed over, or maybe something which you know about them. If you get the answer, maybe it's them who's answering.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I've tried that, and I've gotten, you know, certain things that I felt we have connected with Susan's father, who passed a while back. I've gotten his name a few times and certain things. And I myself have been trying to, you know, get a hold of my grandmother and my grandfather. And again, asking, there's certain words I know. If I got this word or I got this name, you know, at least I would know it was them. But on the other hand, you know, I believe spirits can, if you want to read your mind or know what's going on, if you were talking about it before you did it,
tell
they
you
might
what
have
you
already heard. Exactly. So there's always that, what if, you know. But I believe it works. I have no doubt about that. The stuff that I've gotten over the years that I've used it as, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, direct answers. When we were at the graveyard recently visiting her dad's grave, he's buried in the Vietnam vet section, and he was also in the Navy. We didn't get anything from him, but I was asking questions. I was asking about people, what ship they were on and stuff, and I got words like frigate and destroyer, which are two different types of Navy ships. I got rank, a petty officer and captain. So they were there, they were talking. They also called me a punk. One of them did. I get that every now and then, a jerk and stuff like that. Some of them just don't want to be bothered. But it's definitely interesting, you know. It's something that I don't know how it works. I don't pretend to know how EchoVox works. But it definitely does. And on some of my investigations, I've been with other people. It's been the star of the show. You know, they get requests to bring it on out, you know. So it's definitely something else. And like you said, I've met so many great people through this worldwide. And I'm talking to people from India, you know, Canada, Australia, all across America, South America. It's really an amazing thing, man. You know, and all because
UK.
Of Dan. Absolutely, the UK. And that
don't
goes without
me.
Saying. Some of my best friends, some of the first two people were Danny, that I met through Danny was, you know, Dean and of course, Sally Marie. You know, I started watching your guys' videos with Dean. The first time I saw Dean was he had his head in the sink doing the underwater beer can. And I think that's when I had to friend him, because I was like, man, I gotta talk to this guy. So because I was watching that whole thing. That's when the whole stuff started going on with Sanchez, right? First, when I first got in the group and Danny was talking about this stuff going on. So that piqued my curiosity, and I was kind of following it along, and that's how I found Dean. And you know, he's my brother from another mother, man. Definitely. It's been a wild ride ever since, man.
Yeah, I need to.
I noticed you left out Madagascar. Sorry, I cut you off there, Dean.
Madagascar.
Glenn didn't mention. Yeah, he didn't mention Madagascar. I mean, who doesn't love Brian from Madagascar? You know.
Yeah, Gibraltar.
Oh yeah, the other place known as.
Wherever he lives.
Somewhere to that big ass rock.
Yeah. Well, Sabajit's back for the 100th time in the past.
Yay!
All right.
So
hopefully you can stay longer than 5 seconds.
Yeah, I will try that.
Yeah, I'm longing to hear his voice now. He's a special guy.
Okay, that was pretty
good. Since we both
somebody whisper.
I think that was Sabajit
on my phone now.
Hello.
I was just going to call and breathe heavy all night, but I'm smoking, so I'm kind of out of wind.
People
call in and wheeze real heavy.
You know, one of the cool things that you guys at IPT are doing is you guys seem to be kind of melding old school with new school. You know, it's just not all the technical aspect of things. It's also, you know, like the spirituality of things. I think it's very, and I think that's it. You know, you got to have that good balance. And I mean, that seems to be working for you guys, correct?
Yes. See, people over here, when we talk about spirituality and then connected to paranormal, people connect to us better. Because if we just talk about paranormal or science, they say science doesn't talk about paranormal. So you aren't a scientist, so you better not talk about it. Or if I say I'm from a spiritual background, okay, he knows something there, they say. And then when I talk about paranormal along with spiritual, they actually listen to us. So that's how we fool people into listening to us.
Even some people will ask if they are spiritual present us scientifically. So we have to manage both science and spirituality together.
That's the way.
So you get the
it,
best of both worlds, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A blend of both spirituality and science.
Got to back out with the science. Good stuff.
You know, I've been kind of seeing a lot of stuff about unquote like black magic. So is that like pretty prevalent over there in India?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
It's like a mini war going on over here. Anybody like something somebody else is doing? Okay, I'll sit and I'll do black magic on it.
Wow.
And luckily, I can take out all the black magic effects. I can heal that.
You know, and a lot of people discount that stuff, and possibly over here, but I know for a fact, dealing with that kind of stuff, people who have a knack for it, and that's dealing with spirits too. I mean, when you're doing black magic, you're calling on negative spirits to go after people and do things.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe in that. It's actually possible. I've known people that have dabbled over here, didn't know what they were doing, and had really bad things happen to them because of, you know, they were young and stupid and dabbling into stuff before they really knew what they were dealing with. And it's not anything to be played with, that's for sure.
Yeah. See, it is said that when you use black magic to do something to others, it boomerangs back to you at double the speed and double the effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consequences, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to face double the consequences. So,
oh, yeah, there's always a consequence when dealing, you know, with negative magic, if you will. You know, I have quite a few friends that are into Wicca and Wiccan over here, which is like a nature religion. They use white light magic and stuff like that. And it works for them. Me, myself, I don't. You know, my wife has been into it for a few years. But, you know, I respect their religion as well and have seen some pretty miraculous things. So, but the black magic is definitely, again, something over here. People, they kind of, you know, shrug it off and whatnot. But it's an old and ancient art, and it's been around for a long, long time. But you're right. You can't use that stuff without it taking an effect on you. You know, you always give up something. You can't do that stuff without giving up something of yourself, your soul, your body, loved ones and stuff like that. It can affect many different areas of your life. So I stay away from it.
Yeah, it's more like a vegan practitioner over here. And it's all like, if you actually are helping people, then it's okay. But if you're fucking up with people, then it's going to affect you. I heard that it actually comes back to you in double. So I actually try to help people a lot, and I hope that it comes back to me in double. It hasn't yet. I really wish
it. It's true though, and being nice to people and being kind, it can be distressing sometimes, especially when it's not returned. You know, but yeah. Again, expecting that, if someone's expecting that, you're probably going to be disappointed, being how human nature is. But it does come back to you. I've found that myself. And me, myself, if I can just help someone feel better, feel more comfortable in their home, because I've either, you know, given them awareness of what's there, and it's not nasty, it's not evil, and I tell them how to deal with it, and they feel comfortable, that's reward for me, and especially if there's children involved, because, you know, being how I was as a little kid, I was terrified. I was terrified of what was in the darkness for many years. Yeah. So being able to help someone out of that and being able to give them peace of mind, that's really rewarding for me. And, you know, that's why I'm doing this. I don't do it as much as I can because I don't feel I'm up to par enough right now. So if there's something that I feel is really negative going on, I'll refer them to a different team, somebody who's a little bit more experienced. But, you know, that's my goal, really, to help people in that particular area. So it's a good feeling when it does come back to you, that's for sure.
Yeah, the good feeling is actually something which you get in return. And when somebody tells you that, you tried to heal me and it has worked, I'm feeling good and I'm feeling some positive effects. It really feels good. But I have been doing healing sitting here in India. I have healed and done exorcisms for the people in US, UK, Germany, Oman, and various other countries. And when they tell me, okay, I'm feeling good now, and it has worked, I feel good about myself. Yes, I can help people, and I'll go on helping people.
Absolutely.
It's like a motivation.
There's a lot of it out there. There's a lot more that goes on. Some people aren't even aware of what's going on, you know. Since I've moved into the first house that I lived in down here in Baltimore was extremely haunted. And the house that I grew up in for most of my life before we lived here, no activity. And, you know, we moved to this house and I was like 15 or so. And the woods behind here are extremely active, and we get visitors in the house as well. So, you know, and I assume it's in other houses around here too. It's just not the only one. So some people might not even realize what's going on. And especially it happens with kids, because kids, for some reason, seem to be more aware of this stuff. I don't know if it's the negative spirits seem to go after them because they're easier targets, or children are just more receptive because they haven't been browbeat with all the stuff you get as you grow older. You know, and you grow accustomed to it. And you might even be able to ignore it. You know, but you know, when the kids have something wrong and they tell their parents and nobody wants to believe them, or they're just telling, oh, it's just your imagination, or you're just having a bad dream and stuff like that. You know, which was what happened to me. You start to believe that stuff, and then the whole thing just gets ignored, which can make things a lot worse. You know, because I believe these things can. There's some of them that can do a lot of harm to people. They can make people sick. You know, there's countless stories of this happening. And I know some mediums that deal with this kind of negative stuff, and they have all kinds of health issues, cancers, you know, all kinds of stuff that you can get from dealing with these, especially negative spirits. They're not all negative. You know, some of them, I think, are just trying to show themselves, trying to make contact, and you're not aware of what's going on. It can scare the bejeebies out of you, you know, seeing this stuff. Experiencing it and hearing it. You know, for me, it was all three when I was younger, and I learned to ignore it, and I blocked it out for a long time in my life, even though I still had, you know, experiences, especially in the Navy. They started again. Them old ships carry a lot of energy, you know, but then I was thinking the same thing. I'm dreaming. I'm imagining things, you know. But I look back now and I wasn't. These were things that, and anywhere I go now, I don't have to even be investigating. If I walk into someone's house and there's something there, they let me know right off the bat. And that's increased a lot since we started doing this. You know, I'm pretty sure we've had a few hitchhikers follow us from investigations too.
That's a pretty cool thing to have. While if you're into paranormal and investigating, as you can see, then so it becomes easy to investigate and communicate as well. I personally can't see and sense spirits. I've been able to see spirits since the age of 18, but I have been able to sense since I was a kid. And I used to actually get afraid of the dark, as you also were afraid. And I never went alone anywhere. I remember we used to stay in an apartment, and there was an apartment building next door. And on the second floor of that apartment, I felt extreme negativity. And I never went there. I used to close my eyes and run. And there were friends on the third and the fourth floor over there, and there were no elevators. And so what happened is, I used to stand downstairs and fall my friends. Never went to the airplane at the second floor if I had to. I usually used to avoid that second floor, and nobody knew at my place why I did that. Now I realize why I did that. Because it's the same feeling of the energy which I felt over there is what I feel when a spirit is nearby.
I get the same thing, you know, that the electricity in the air and your hair stands up. You know, all of your body and stuff. I've learned to tell the difference between the negative ones and the positive ones. There's definitely a different energy. And that took me a while, because when I was younger, it just all felt spooky, you know. Definitely a lot of head under the covers and not wanting to walk around dark. The first house we lived in, after I saw what I saw in the basement, that little shadow figure thing, I did not go down there by myself. I mean, I would not go down there for any reason, you know, by myself. And like you said, for me, I saw stuff when I was younger, and blocking it out and getting older, you know, and I've seen some things here in the house and whatnot, but it's not constant. Like, I really wish, like, some of these mediums you see that, you know, they actually see what's going on. I guess it's bad and good, because some of the things they describe are pretty nasty, but I'm the kind of person, I like to know what I'm dealing with. Whether it's good or bad or whatever, I don't care how ugly it is. I'm a Guar fan, for God's sake, so that stuff really doesn't bother me now. But just knowing what you're dealing with is half the battle. And a lot of the negative ones, they don't like to be exposed. They do their work. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to make themselves known. You know, that's why, you know, so many people, especially on these TV shows, say everything negative is demonic. But I really feel that those types of entities try to keep themselves, you know, out of the fray as much as possible. They don't want to be known. Because once they're known, especially if you, like we talked about earlier with knowing the name of some of these spirits and entities, supposedly you can have control over them. You can do things to them as well, and possibly make them leave. One of the more difficult things to do. But, you know, it seems to me that the most negative ones don't like to be found out. And that's what we have the problem over here back in my woods. There's one or two that really don't like me doing what I do when I commune with some of the lost spirits back here, because there's a lot of them. I don't know why they're back here. It seems like there's a road or a trail or something back here that they follow. You know, but when I try to talk to them and I try to help them, I get flack. I get flack from two specific entities that really don't like me, but I'm used to that too, so that doesn't really bother me. It's probably not,
you know,
a good
one
thing,
of the, one
off
of the
like
things
that.
You know, one of the things I'm curious about is How do you guys, you know, kind of counteract the negative magic? Do you guys, you know, I imagine it depends on each individual case, but what are some processes that you guys would do to kind of like cleanse that or counteract that negativity or black energy?
Yeah, we counter the negative or the energy with white light healings and spirituality. Mm-hmm. That's where we use spirituality, which we have. And I've been on like more than 100 exorcisms till date. So I know how to deal with the nasty ones as well. So I have been able to do that. We use white light healing, and I also know a bit of white magic, yep. The basic of Wiccan. So and as Glenn said, it has amazing effects which nobody can believe in. It's like miracles. So yep. I use that as the last resort.
Yeah, it sounds cliche, but the best thing to repel negativity is love. And like you said, white light, we use that quite a bit here with our prayers. If we go on an investigation where we think there's something negative, we definitely do our protection prayers with white light, you know, before we even go in and whatnot. We also use a lot of white sage, smudging, stuff like that, some Native American stuff. And but again, these things, especially when they're going after a family, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to break the family up. They're trying to put as much negative energy as they can to make people fight, to make people sick. And it happens a lot. It works a lot, too. The best thing you can do is stick together and use your love for your family and whatever your religion is or whatnot. Use that too. That's what repels these things, and it doesn't work right off the bat every time. Sometimes it takes several times. You know, a lot of it's finding out what you're dealing with too, and where it's located at. Because they usually have a specific spot that they like to hang in. If you can find that that information out, which is hard to do, if you can find that information out, that gives you that big head up. Especially he was talking about people who use black magic, a big thing is if you can find out who actually used the stuff against you in the first place, that's a pretty big deal too. Sometimes that's hard to find out too, because you never know where the stuff's coming from. But
yeah, exactly.
You know,
now I've heard. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just important because a lot of people think that, you know, I hear people get angry, they're going to kick a spirit's ass. You can't fight something with muscle and your physical body. You've got to use what they are, their thought, their intent. You have to battle these things with the same thing that they are. I mean, that's what they are. They're literally pure thought, their intent. These things aren't of our world. So trying to think that you can physically harm these things somehow is you're not going to work. You're just going to get worse off than you were. So you got to learn to use your mind, and if you have abilities to do that. And it's draining. It can be when you deal with these negative things. And I have, it leaves me drained for days, sometimes a week. I am just, you know, wiped out. You know, so I use certain things to counteract that. But it can be stressful. It really can. And it can get to you sometimes. It's hard to keep a positive attitude when you find out how much negativity is in the world. You know, and I've had it affect people I know. You have people change on you, friends and stuff like that, out of the blue. Just, you know, you're good one day and all of a sudden they're fighting and they fucking hate your guts and shit like that. It's pretty freaking weird. And it's happened to me more than once in my life. You know, and again, I used to wonder about this stuff when I was younger, and I look back at stuff now and I'm like, haha, that's what was going on. But it's like they almost don't want you to get to where you're supposed to be. People who are sensitive and they're born sensitive, sometimes they get attacked. It's like these things don't want you to ever grow into the person that you're supposed to be because you're a threat to them, literally. And it's kind of strange because there's a whole other world that's going on around us that people don't see. And a lot of people don't believe in, but it's there. I kind of ambivalent about that because in some ways it's good. If they don't ever have to experience this stuff, that's good. You know, they never have to go through the stuff we have. But on the other hand, you know, there's a whole world that they're missing out on. And it's here with us every day, you know, whether you believe it or not. For me, you know, I know it's real. The experiences that I've had myself. And I know I'm a little bit crazy, but being crazy and being insane is two different things. So that's the way I look at it.
I think I'm both.
Yeah, exactly. If you close the world, the world doesn't disappear. Yeah, if you close your eyes, the world doesn't disappear, right?
Yes.
So you just have to open the eyes and look at the other world. You have to be able to actually take in the knowledge which others are giving and be open to the knowledge. If you are closed to new knowledge, nobody can help you in the world.
True. The very wise man right there.
Yeah, definitely.
You wise
being open-minded is a big role.
Yeah, open-minded people. Yeah, being open-minded actually helps in paranormal investigations as well. Because you do not expect any returns, or you do not anticipate anything which is going to happen, and you're all open to whatever is going to happen, and you say, okay, whatever is going to happen, I'll experience it and I'll feel good about it. So,
right. I think it makes it so things aren't so finite, and so, you know, this is what this is how. You got to keep that in mind because, you know, I think as a just, you know, human race in general, you know, yeah. Oh, shit. That figures. You can't open your mind. Train of thought. I'm sorry. It's all that whacking it.
You know, and a lot of things too. The team you're with, I think, has a lot to do with it. If you have a lot of people that have positive energy with you, and you get along good, and you're able to joke a little bit here and there, even during the worst situations, I think it really, really helps. I mean, the people that I've been able to investigate with, I consider myself lucky. We've got some of the best evidence with some of the goofiest people that you know, they're fun to be with. And you go in there and you have positive energy, but like you said, you know, being able to have an open mind, and there's a lot of people out there that think they have an open mind, but they don't. And it's hard. It's hard to leave your beliefs that you've been taught your whole life to, if you've been raised in a certain religion or whatnot. It's hard for people to let go of that and accept that there might be another answer. There might be another route. Not saying that it's wrong necessarily what they believe in. But there are other ways to get to the same destination. You know, there's just not one road. So, having an open mind is definitely important. I definitely believe in this because you can learn so much from the littlest things of people. I mean, it might just be one thing one person says on an investigation or something like that. It might open your mind to a whole new way of thinking, you know. That's why it's so important. I try to, you know, meet these other teams. I like doing stuff like this, talking to other people, especially from other countries that had different beliefs and that grew up in a totally different way than we did. It's really how you learn. You know, I've always been fascinated with all the cultures and other people anyways. You know, some of my best times were in the Navy. I got to travel to a lot of different countries, meet a lot of different people and experience their cultures. And I miss that. Don't miss the Navy as much, but I definitely miss the traveling and being able to meet people, you know, girls from all over the world, man.
Which one?
Yes, sir.
Which one's one?
You know, kind of goes back to about the children, you know, being able to be more perceptive to things and the paranormal, that, you know, kind of like Glenn said, you know, they don't have all that bullshit drilled into their head. You know, and it's, this is how it is, or open, receptive to things, you know, so that open-mindedness kind of, you know, lets them see into that other side, so to speak.
I think it's still being in that imaginative state too. Children have such a great imagination,
right?
And that's why so many elders look at it as like they're just imagining things or they're just dreaming. But I think that's part of it. And for me, I still have that about me. I never really left my childhood. So being able to have that imagination and that openness, you know, and plus their brains are just sponges. I mean, it's just your brain's an antenna after all, you know, and they're just able to pick up on that stuff so easily, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. But I don't know if anybody who's ever experienced being around children, even young ones, infants, how they seem to be staring at the ceiling and their eyes are moving. Yeah. Like they're following something, you know, and it makes you wonder, what are they seeing? You know, some of them, you know, some people talk about they're looking at angels or relatives and stuff like that, like old wives' tales, but maybe it's the truth, you know.
Right.
You know, I would like to think that your relatives that pass be able to come back and visit you, being able to look upon you and protect you. You know, I know for a fact, I definitely have guardian spirits. Most of them probably been shaking their head most of the time. And here he goes again. But you know, I definitely feel I've had either, you know, I can't say it's luck, but there's been a lot of times I consider myself empathic that it's kept me out of trouble. Not all the time, but there have been times where I've had that feeling, and I've heard, you know, you need to get the hell out of here, and it's saved my ass more than once. So you know, I definitely believe that.
You know, and question for Akshay, I'm guessing Sarvajit is long point.
he's back again.
But, he is back again. All right. Hopefully he can be on for more than 5 minutes.
He's back usually about, it's an average of 2 minutes before he leaves. But
2 minutes. It's enough time to rub.
He comes back about 10 seconds later, so we can do this shit.
But, you know,
it's going up.
Term... he's cutting in and out, sounds like. But,
so are you.
This term... of course, god damn. This term that's coined, you know, white light, or, you know, using the white light to kind of counteract the black magic or the negativity, what have you. Akshay, what in your world, you know, basically, like, what is the white light? Like, describe that.
White light actually is an energy which we use to counter anything. It's actually positive energy of a very high sort.
Yeah, over here it's considered divine. I mean, it's not necessarily anything religious as far as God's going. It's just you have a dark side and you have a light side, literally like Star Wars, the Force. And that white side of what we use, that white light, is of a divine source. Like you said, it's an energy that you can call upon, and you can learn how to channel it and call upon it and use it the proper way. It can be a very powerful weapon against these things. They do not like it. And I can attest to that. You know, long before there were angels or demons, there was the children of light, the children of dark. I mean, there were these entities that have always been around before they were called angels or demons. There's stories that go back thousands of years of these entities in one form or another. So, you know, a lot of people look at it now, again, because, you know, Catholicism and Christianity has spread through the world like it has. They seem to tend to stick on just that one message. But this stuff has always been here in one form or another. And when you find out how to use it and use it, you know, in a positive way, it can be very powerful, I believe. You know, it's pretty neat that I can hear someone from India saying the same things. You know, it just goes to show you that, you know, it's worldwide. And he's obviously used this stuff before and knows how to use it. And, you know, that's amazing to me, because, you know, you have a lot of people over here in my own country don't even know what it's about. And here's someone on another continent that's doing the same exact thing. And they're able to connect with this energy and use it in a positive way to help people. And that's what it's all about for me, because the negative is always there. It's always going to be there. There's really no getting rid of it. You know, there's no such thing as killing it. You know,
yeah,
and
exactly.
And that's what's curious, because you see all these shows that talk about this demonic, that's all they mention. Well, if there's demons, then there must be something to fight it. Aren't angels supposed to be fighting these things? So where's the other side? You know, so that's why I get a little bit faulty on some of that stuff. But it seems to be, you know, the practitioners who know how to use it, they're the ones who bring it. They can call upon these positive spirits and this energy. And again, even Native Americans using the white sage and stuff like that, calling on their ancestral spirits, their good spirits in the same way, using that positive energy to knock this stuff back and possibly at least move it out of the place that it's at and get it off the people that it's attached itself to. But some people can have it attached. They don't even realize what's happened to them. Their life starts going downhill. You know, bad things start happening to them. They start doing bad things. And I don't believe anybody's born bad. You know, we're all born on the same basis. But these things, I think they attach to people that are vulnerable in one way or another. Maybe you're sensitive. You know, sensitives, mediums, people like me that are empathic. You're sitting ducks for this stuff if you don't have anybody to show you what's going on in your life. It can affect you really badly. It makes you wonder how many people have gotten locked up in insane asylums or put away and stuff like that. People thought they were crazy, but it was actually the stuff that was affecting them, making them do these things, you know, or at least leading them to it. You look at some of the evils in the world, these people that commit horrible, heinous crimes, and it makes you wonder how a human being could do these things to another human being. And it's just, and humans have been killing one another for one reason or another since the beginning of time. They always find another reason. But it makes you wonder if these agents of darkness and light aren't working through people in one form or another. And some people believe it is. Some people think it's all just hokey, that you can chalk it all up to, you know, to psychology and stuff like that. But me, myself, I think there's a lot more going on in the world. The spirits are affecting a lot more things in the world than people give them credit for, personally, is what I believe.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot more to learn in all the white light, divine light. Yeah, all the religions teach about the same thing. We have the same thing in Hinduism, then we have it in Christianity. Buddha taught about the light, and even the Quran speaks about the same thing. So yeah, all the religions are pretty much the same, and they all talk about the white light. And I think that religion is actually a bait to spirituality, because for spirituality, it's like spirituality, and we have to listen and know about our own spirit. As the spirit is inside us, we have to look inside. And that is called meditation then. So to meditate, we need to know how to do that. And the prayers, or whatever we do, is actually a type of meditation where we close our eyes and try to connect to the God within us, or the light within us. It's kind of a meditation which each and every religion is trying to teach. And slowly people are getting into spirituality because of the religion. That's what I.
Now, when you meditate, do you use any specific? Do you use like do you chant? Do you use mantras or anything, or is it just a quiet thing for you? I mean, I sometimes use music to get into that state myself. It kind of helps.
Yeah, soft music will help a lot. For meditations, you don't need to chant, because if you chant, you're continuously using your conscious mind, and meditations are good to tap into your conscious mind and gain all the types of abilities that you have in your subconscious. So for the same thing, what happens is you actually sit for meditation. If you want, you can put on music, and you can actually put on an incense put on a candle, and you'll be able to meditate better.
So with the work that you guys... That's just getting really drunk, Dean. That's not really meditation so much, I think.
No. What I'm saying is I've tried to so many times, but I have the attention span of a squirrel. And I can't do it. I just can't.
No, I'm with you there. I'm with you.
It's hard to quiet your mind. It really is, especially for me, because I have so many things going on so many times, but it's something I've really come to be interested in the last couple of years. And for me, it's when I get into that state, and I finally feel I'm in that state, all kinds of things open up. You know, you find with like the shamans over here with the Native American or even in South America, a lot of them start out using, you have some of the people that use peyote. You have in South America, they use certain types of mushrooms, hallucinogens, literally. And they believe, and the whole thing with a shaman is, it's not just, they're literally crossing into the spirit realm to deal with the spirits. That's their belief. And a lot of them that I've talked to is they only start using the hallucinogens at first to help them cross. And then after they've achieved where they want to be at, they don't need them anymore. Or probably you've done enough peyote to last you your whole lifetime if you could, you know, get like that anyways. But it's kind of fascinating, you know, because again, people that travel to South America or to go to these trips, you can experience this stuff by using the same stuff the shamans use, and they'll take you on a spiritual journey. it might be freaky for some people, but I find that really interesting. You know, coming from the neighborhood that I did, people did a lot of partying and stuff like that, and LSD and stuff like that. But it's just kind of amazing that these people have been using this kind of stuff for thousands of years and to cross over and communicate with what they believe is the spirit realm. You know, I have a few friends that are into that kind of thing. And so it's a pretty powerful magic. They call it medicine over there with the Native Americans and what they use, you know. But it's a pretty powerful thing that they're not just using the drug to party. They're using it as a vehicle to transcend worlds, literally put themselves in a different state, at least their mind, their spirit. You know, they leave their body and they're crossing into this, you know, they're not dealing with the spirits on this plane. They're dealing with the spirits in their own world, in their own plane. It's a pretty powerful thing, pretty powerful idea.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to learn shamanism now. And trying to use it. So today at night, I'm going for an investigation in Mumbai, and I have also a shaman on my team for the investigation. That is going to be pretty cool. For the first time, we'll have a shaman doing a paranormal investigation with us.
It's used a lot over here, and because especially here on the East Coast, you can't really go anywhere that wasn't Native American land at one time. I mean, the entire East Coast up and down here, you know, we still have a lot of places named after Indian names and tribes. Most of them were moved to the Midwest, you know, because of what the government did to them, basically. But, you know, some people find out that when they're on this land, they have these problems dealing with these spirits. And these spirits aren't necessarily negative. These spirits were there. These people took care of these spirits. They nourished them. They worshiped them. They were protectors of the land and of the tribe. The tribe gets moved off the land. The spirits don't leave. I mean, because they're literally nature spirits. They were always there. So some people find out when they move into these places that they have bad problems and they need to have a shaman come and take care of it, literally appease these spirits and stuff like that. They know how to work with them and deal with them. So it's a more frequent problem over here than people really realize. There's just some places that... You know, you shouldn't live. The Native Americans knew where there was really negative stuff, and they didn't live there. They knew about it, but when they got moved off, all that knowledge got lost. And, you know, the you want to call them, you know, some people call them your elementals, or whatnot. You know, these are things that were specifically never human. They're literally nature spirits, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I have seen that spirits are actually really good people. And I have come across some really good people trying to help, really good spirits who are trying to help people as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, and in India, we have, I went to Lonavala one day, and I just used EchoWalk, a few technology things to talk and communicate with the spirits. And I asked them what exactly were they doing at such a secluded place. And they said sometimes people forget their ways and they can't get back home. So we just guide them, tell them which way to go. So they have good spirits. The spirits out there who always help people.
I've definitely been helped, that's for sure.
You know, we got like about 7 minutes, it says. Look.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the I'm curious about, though, Akshay's, the work you guys do with, you know, IPT does. Do you guys find in some percentages of is it some of it in some of the issues somebody may be coming to you with? You find out that maybe they're the issues and it's not something external, you know, i.e. a spirit or something like that. Do you find that it can be kind of internal and it's them maybe projecting something negative?
Yes. Sometimes it does happen that we use our subconscious mind and move things or do something out of the blue, and the subconscious actually works on its own. And we think that, okay, our spirit is doing that, or our spirit is moving a certain thing. But our subconscious or our own soul has enough power to move things without touching them. And I have been able to move my dowser without touching it as well. So I can vouch for that. And what happens is we read a lot of things that spirits do this and that, and then people go out to see movies. And they say, okay, this can happen at my place. That's the first manifestation which takes place. And even if there's no spirit over there, the subconscious mind says, okay, this can happen at my place. So let me do it and let that happen to me. So it automatically starts to happen around you. And people really get freaked out when things start to move on their own. And then they call us and they say, okay, you check things out. Things are happening over here, things are moving, and I don't know what's happening. So we go there, we try to communicate, and there's no communication as well. So that's one part when we come to know that, yes, that is the reason that we are not getting any responses. Either it's residual or it's only some person from the family who is actually manifesting and doing that through subconscious. We actually try to interview the client as well to see if his mental state is good and he hasn't been on any medication or any kind of thing to affect his subconscious or his conscious.
Fear is the fear that triggers many things. Like the human brain is of doing anything. So when they imagine that something is there, then they see something that seems like a ghost, and where they scared and it harms them.
So basically, it's kind of their own kind of harm themselves, something external is what you're saying.
Yeah.
60 or 70% of the time, it's a person moving things without knowing through the subconscious. Because a lot of people are watching these horror movies and thinking that, yes, this can happen to me. and then they do it.
Just goes to show how powerful the human brain can be and the will.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of the mind that we, you know, we have not tapped, you know, for lack of a better, ignorant.
Yeah, there have been cases when people could teleport with their mind. So humans can do a lot of things. We just have to tap into that knowledge. And I think we can achieve that with meditation.
Astral projection and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's what
stories,
I was about to say.
Of amazing things. People that had thought they were dreaming. One particular time, my friend in Gettysburg, she had a dream that she was in a hospital, was talking to a guy that was in the hospital bed. She just thought it was a dream. This guy literally came and found her. He knew her name. He literally came and found her like 2 years later.
Holy
and
shit.
Said, you know, because he was asking the nurses about the woman that was in his room, and they said there was nobody here. And he knew her name, and he looked her up and found her on Facebook and came and talked to her about this. So it's one of the first times she realized she had actually been astral projecting. And now it's something she does pretty regularly. So,
well,
that's.
Oh my goodness, 1 minute 54 seconds. It goes by so quick.
Yeah, it does.
I've got 44 seconds, it says for me. So, shit.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's an astral projection. I tell Sarvajit what he's wearing and where he's going and who he is with.
No, that's the wrong thing. You have no privacy. Someone knows astral projection. Now, Akshay does that. He called me or messaged me, asked, are you wearing that red pant? And I was like, okay, that's my privacy. You don't have to see what I'm wearing.
That's with Carla. I can tell when she's trying to read me sometimes when something's going on. I know what she's doing. I was like, cut it out. I ain't letting you in. Stop it. I know what's going on.
You know, I'm just waiting for Sarvajit's first night, and I'm going to travel and see things. It'd be pretty cool.
I'll make it a third night tonight.
Well, before we get cut off here, man, I'd just like to thank you guys for coming on tonight. I know it's early in the morning for you guys in India, correct?
Yeah. It was pretty good. We enjoyed a lot.
Time
really
to cook some bricks.
Guys, let me join in too again.
Oh, Glenn, it's always a pleasure of you, buddy.
Thank you guys for letting us.
He's like a.
Really
he's like the French
tick guys, man.
Yeah, just keep doing.
This has been awesome.
Doing over there at IPT. Love it.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and get off here before we get cut off. I got to refill my rum and get on with the rest of my night here. Lots of serious heavy drinking.
Yeah. All right,
now it says 1 hour. Now it says 1 hour to go. Oh, 1 hour. I can't read. I'm half drunk. To go.
Yeah.
Go.
1 hour
ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks for letting me join in again, guys. And it was really nice talking to you. I really appreciate it. I learn something every time I talk to someone.
Yeah, guys.
So, hopefully,
it was a pleasure coming on. Oh, it was fun talking to you.
And Joe.
It was great having
you,
look
forward to
and Savachi, it was good for 10 seconds of your time.
Oh, God.
He was a special guest, right? We
already had one of them.
It's going. We have ended.
All right, guys.
Well, we look forward
to next week.
Yeah.
I think. I can't do next weekend, and then we're going to do it the weekend after.
Well,
29th, isn't it, Joe?
Cool.
Yeah, for the 29th, don't have a guest exactly lined up right yet. I'm waiting for Juan to get back to me, and then if he says no, I'm going to go ahead and track somebody.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to it. Keep you posted, guys.
Well,
do.
It's been a pleasure, you guys.
All right, man. Yeah, I will talk to everybody on Facebook probably, a little bit later.
Yeah, guys.
Later. You guys have, bye-bye. You guys have a good night or morning.
All righty.
Yeah, have a good night.
Bye. Bye. Goodbye.
Take care.
See you later. Goodbye.
Not you.
here comes the wrong.
Back to masturbating now.
How did you know what I was going to do?
Now,
I talk about on the phone.
Now, I